My subject for this morning is improper application of the scriptures equals either the taking from or the adding to of the Word of God. I know that's a long subject, but I think it's the truth. And the Lord warned us in the book of Revelation about adding to or taking from the scriptures, and we need to be careful about that. And I think Paul gave instruction to Timothy that applies to every one of us, young and old. Study. Now there's plenty of water in the well, but anybody's too lazy to go down to the well and draw it, they're not going to get the water. Now there's plenty of water in this well, water of truth, but we've got to have enough ambition and enough concern, enough zeal to get in there and find it. Let me say this right now. I was fed yesterday. I didn't get here the first day, but the lesson yesterday was splendid. But this is a thought I want to leave with you. These brethren that stood here to teach you, God didn't just hand that to them on a platter. Now, this old idea that a fellow's been called to preach, if you just get in the pulpit and open his mouth, God will fill it, that's the devil's language. If that is the truth, what have we got a Bible for? Why did God use holy men of old? Inspire them by the Spirit of God to give us all he wanted us to know and what we needed. We wouldn't need the Bible if God inspired people today. And day of inspiration's gone. You can forget about that. But he gave us enough by inspiration in the Bible that we don't need it today. If we needed it, we'd had it. These brethren yesterday that taught have spent years of study, digging. And they've done a lot on their knees, too, asking God for direction, leadership. I know what I'm talking about. I've been here a little over 77 years, and I'm trying to preach for 56 years, and I know what it means to find what's in this book. And you'll be preaching sometime, preacher, when you may have studied or tried to figure out what a certain scripture means and what it applies to and how you're going to use it. And sometime when you're in the pulpit trying to preach, it'll just open up just as clear as your hand before you. Well, now that's God using his Spirit to direct you in this scripture that you may know it. Now we believe the Bible alone is a perfect rule of our faith and practice. And I want to stress that. Not the Bible and something else. Now you can get a lot of help from other people and you'll get something that'll lead you in the wrong way if you're not careful. You need to know the truth before you tie in with somebody else. He might give you some help and understanding a little bit more about it. Maybe you could deliver it better. Have more to add to it. But the Bible contains the whole truth. I don't know that I've ever read a book, and I've read lots of them, that I agreed with the author all the way. But I've got some good out of it, some good thoughts out of it. You can too. But be sure you know the truth first, and then you won't be led wrong. The 18 articles of faith, known as the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, is not a Baptist creed. Baptists don't have a creed. That's just simply a declaration of the things that are most surely believed among us. And it's good. You take them one at a time and use and the scriptures that are used in each one to prove it, you get a great education from it. That's right. There's another thing I want to introduce right here. Now I've got four pages here and I know I won't use half of them. The Bible is a blueprint. Every notable builder, contractor, builds houses, or any kind of a building for that matter, they want a blueprint of the building that they're going to build from the foundation all the way through. Subcontractors who might have a part in that want that blueprint too, so they can do their part in that building. And let me tell you something else. It's not a blueprint, but it's the blueprint. Now you might say, well, why? What's the difference? Well, A is an indefinite article. And to say it's a blueprint would be to say, well, there's something else besides that. I don't know whether you noticed on the TV or not, but I have lately. The Mormons are advertising their Bible, trying to get people to sin for it free. They're willing to give it to you. My Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. God gave us the book, but we have to spend some time in purchasing the truth that's in that book. And I ought to notice another thing these folks is advertising the Book of Mormon. Said, could it be possible that there's another revelation of Jesus Christ? You have the New Testament, but is it possible that could be another revelation? Intimating that the Book of Mormon does reveal something else about Christ, even that he visited the United States during his lifetime. I doubt that. I doubt that very seriously. Now, the article V is a definite article. And when I say the blueprint, it's the only one. It's the only one. But I will say this right now, that everything that we need is in this book. If we needed anything else, he would have given it to us. And I think we need every bit of it. And I believe that, and now let me say this before I get to that. I doubt if there is one man in all of the ministry that is able to understand all that's in this book. I sometimes wonder if all that have opened and looked upon its pages, if all were to express their views, if it all could be understood. No, it's a book that you can spend a lifetime in and never understand it all. If you think you understand it, you're just too smart. Too smart. But I like to think about God in his infinite mercy and his infinite wisdom and in his infinite foreknowledge, as mentioned here yesterday. And Brother Moran, I believe that every bit of it, God knew the end from the beginning. He knows all about it. Tell you the truth, I think he could have written down in the book of life every soul that had been saved if he wanted to. But he didn't do it. There's no such thing as God fixing the matter is just like an alarm clock and it'll go off at the right time. God is still in charge of all of it. But in his knowledge, or foreknowledge, and his love for mankind, he gave us the Bible. In it he reveals himself. That's right. Now the universe of humanity might have had some idea by looking on the things of the universe, just like a lot of people in the world today that don't study the Bible, they have their idols. And there is something about mankind that's going to worship something. It's nothing but a pile of rock. They'll pile it up, bow down to it. Idolatry. Because there is something within man that gives him the incentive that there is a higher power. And even this Bible tells us the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament his handiwork. Day unto day out of speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. And there is not a place under the sun that his voice is not heard. But does it tell us about how to be saved? Does it tell us what God requires of us as human beings? No, the sun doesn't. The sky doesn't. The things that God has created doesn't. But this book does tell us. It tells us where we came from. And how we came. It also tells us how little we are. And that lesson yesterday, I felt just like a gnat. About the littleness. About a carver, I thought, did a swell job. And that's exactly where we are, brethren. And this Bible will tell us that if we'll accept it and live by it day by day, month by month, year by year, we'll have to be an humble people. Very little in the sight of God. Well, the Bible tells us tells us it is as nothing. We are as nothing in his sight. This book tells us where we came from. It tells us how we became sinners. It tells us how to be saved. Everything that's required of us is in this book. Sad to say this morning, it's been misused. And it's being misused today. If the idea of some people's interpretation of the Bible and the requirements of the gospel that they use is the truth, I've wasted my life, and you brethren have wasted your life, and you stood for the truth all these years. Now that's right. And you that are here today that have been in this and heard these lessons that have been given, if you go their way, you'll waste your life. What am I talking about? It's one thing to preach the gospel. It's another thing to see that it's practiced. I think there are people that stand in pulpits of modern churches that preach the gospel. As far as the word is concerned. But where's the spirit? This book tells us about a spirit that he gave us. On the day of Pentecost, came before the church. And it came to stay, brother. It never did go back. It's right here today. Now, I believe it fills heaven and earth, for that matter. And the Bible so teaches. Let me say this right here. You ever hear people, and I wouldn't want to criticize anybody praying. But you can pray amiss. The Bible tells you pray amiss, and you won't be answered. You ever hear anybody pray, the Lord, send the Holy Spirit down from heaven? Now that's praying amiss. The Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, so said this Bible, and will be with the church forever. Well, the end hasn't come yet, so it's still here. And this Bible also tells us how to get in the position and attitude to be used of that Spirit. Now, when a coldness comes upon a church and people, it's not the Spirit's fault. It's not God's fault. It's when the Christian people empty themselves of worldly things where that Spirit can fill them. The day that we're living in now, the Spirit is crowded out of the hearts and lives of Christian people because of worldliness. This Bible tells us so. But I must go on. Paul told Timothy, I mentioned this a while ago, but I want to mention it again. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Who said that? Call of inspiration. Told us that. Surely we're living in those perilous times right now. Oh, we're having a little trouble with the economy right now, but it has been booming. But I'm not talking about that. He'll probably come back. But I want our spiritual influence to come back. And the Bible tells us exactly how to get it back, if we're willing to meet the conditions. The Bible is our blueprint for life and eternity. And to fail to follow it is to get in trouble every time. Look at this. You don't hear very much said today about the errors in teaching and the errors in preaching and the errors in practice. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Don't want to hurt Grandma's feelings. Well, I'd rather hurt Grandma and Grandpa's feelings than all their children than the Lord. And every time you withhold the truth from the people that you stand before, you're hurting the Lord's feelings. Now, something else about this. There's a misapplication in pulpits all over our land that there's nothing found in the Bible to subordinate or to hold. And that is accepting Christ. I don't want any of you young preachers that are here today to fall into that crowd. Don't ever honor that crowd with your presence or with your endorsement of any of what they're doing. Why not? Because they're teaching something and practicing something that cannot be supported by this book. The sinner has to get in condition and position to be accepted of God. And that comes about by repentance. This book teaches us there are two special main conditions that are to be met by unsaved people. They must repent. They must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this right here. God never commanded mankind to do what he cannot do. Now, he may have to have the help to do it, but he can do it. When God commanded all and everywhere to repent, he didn't accept a single one of them. Everybody has to repent in order to be saved. But a man can't do it without repent, without the help of God. He just can't do it. It's not in the mortal fiber of man, in his corrupt nature, to seek after God on his own. He'll never do it. The only way that he'll ever turn from his sins and turn to God is when he's convicted by the gospel, the Spirit accompanying that gospel to his heart and showing him just where he stands. No man can come to God except to Christ except the Father who sent him draw him, though so said the Bible. That's this book I'm talking about. Now, the improper application of Scripture is just the same as taking from the Word of God. And when you add something else instead of those things, you're adding to the Word of God. And I don't want to be guilty of it. Something else about this that the Bible teaches us, in Acts 11:18, you remember when Peter had gone to the household of Cornelius and preached to them, and they'd been saved, and news got back to the church of Jerusalem. And I know Peter didn't want to go over there in the first place, but pressure was put upon him, and he went. And that Gentile household got saved, and that Jewish household, or Jewish church over at Jerusalem, were informed about it. And Peter was called on the carpet. He had to make some explanation about it, why he'd gone to a house of a Gentile. And he defended himself. He said, God sent him over there. Who was I to withstand God? Now let me say this to you. When God speaks to your heart in that still small voice and tells you to go, you better go. You better go. Peter went. They had the conference at Jerusalem. And James was the pastor of that church. You might have been named after him again. And James stood up and said, listen to me. And he went back to Amos and got the prophecy of that very thing. That's right. And you know, when they heard this, they held their peace. They didn't have any more to say about it. That was the end of it. And they said, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Granted. God granted. I tried for 48 hours to repent by myself. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't make the grade. But when I depended on God to do it and gave up my own effort, it happened. And it happened to everybody when they quit trying to save themselves. God grants repentance. And not only that, but let's see Ephesians. Second chapter of Ephesians. Let's quote it all. We won't talk the whole chapter, but you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So in time past walked according to this world, the prince of power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as us. But by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. I know the Bible teaches, plain and simple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and all that. But you can't do it on your own. When God moves out, it'll be the end. God has to help you. He helped me, and he's helped everybody else that's ever come to him in the right way. This is old-time Baptist doctrine, people. That's what Baptists have believed and taught. Now, I'm not talking about them foreigners. I'm talking about the genuine Baptists of the ages. That's the one I'm talking about. Not only that, but this Bible said we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. And that word unto simply means with a view to. God never saved anybody except with a view to his being a good worker. Except those that died or got saved on their deathbed. And God had a purpose in that. There might have been somebody around that were influenced by that. God never does make a mistake. Let's go a little further with this. I've got to hurry on. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds. You know the word you is used in the Bible, hear and heard. There's a lot of difference in hearing with your ear. I know you got to do that first. And hearing with your heart. Paul said, let a man take heed, I have built it on that foundation. For the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And here's something I want to bring up right now. I've heard people talk about being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, the apostles and prophets never were a foundation for salvation. They never saved anybody. I know the Bible teaches that they laid their hands on people and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that wasn't the Spirit that saves. That was a gift back there. The apostles and prophets were built on the same foundation that we're built on. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. But what about that foundation in Hebrews 6:1? Paul, in writing to Hebrews, he said, and that's been mentioned here before, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now that is just simply preaching about the birth of Christ and the life of Christ. He said, let us go on unto perfection. In other words, this Bible teaches that Christian people are supposed to grow to maturity. They're not supposed to be babies all their life. But we've got some, you don't fed them, they'll leave you. Take out on you. Still want the bottle. But he said, let us go on unto perfection. In other words, to completion. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Brethren, this Bible teaches when you truly repent toward God to his satisfaction, all those works and all those sins are forgotten. They're dead as a mackerel. not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permits. Then what do you say? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, renew them again to repentance. They can't do that but one time. Oh, we'll have to come to God and ask forgiveness for our wrongs and mistakes. But you won't repent of your sins but once. Once. Don't lay that foundation. You know people that have done that, don't you? I know of people that's gone to a Mormon's base and claimed to have been saved half a dozen times. There's one thing about it, the Bible don't teach that. We're talking about truths of the Word of God now and the improper use of and application of those truths. Results in adding to or taking from the Word of God. We don't want to be that. Let's look into that a little bit further. What happened? What's wrong with the Hebrews back in that day? Doctrine of baptism. Well, the church in Jerusalem was baptized the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Household Cornelius, when they were saved, they were baptized the Holy Spirit. Just exactly like the one over at Jerusalem. And they had heard about that. And they believed there's going to have to be two baptisms. You know, it's easy to get in the wrong rut, or in a rut, maybe I should have said that, it's a wrong rut. And they got in it. Now, Paul said one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, if there's a spirit baptism, then we know there's a water baptism. Then we'd have to discount it. Oh, you weren't totally wrong. We got two. There's just one, brethren, and that's in water. That's the only one. What about laying on of hands? And that disturbs a lot of people. Let me give you a scripture. Thank you. 7 minutes, that's my little. Hey, old guy in there. 19th chapter of Acts of the Apostles. The Apostle Paul ran up on about 12 disciples. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, we hadn't even heard of this such a thing. Didn't even know there's such a thing. Now, I believe they had the Spirit of God in their hearts to bear witness with them that they were Christians. I think that one of them was saved. Paul said, well, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. You know, somebody come along, and I believe it was Apollos. I might be wrong, but I believe he's the one that Aquila and Priscilla called him. They called him off to one side and taught him the way of God more perfectly. I think it's Apollos, he'd gotten the wrong rut, or in a rut. They hadn't even heard about that Holy Spirit, the gift of it. That's what that was all about. Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. In other words, based on repentance. saying unto the people, they should believe on him that's come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus was to be baptized under the commission. Some people don't believe that, but that doesn't give them the authority to use it. It was Christ who gave the authority for baptism. That was in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and by the authority of Jesus Christ to be baptized in his name. And after that, Paul laid his hand on them, and they received gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what they didn't know about. That's what they didn't understand. That was the gift of the Holy Ghost. But now, these brethren, when they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the next verse tells us that they spake with tongues and prophesied. And nobody ever did do that wasn't baptized the Holy Ghost. Think about it. The gift of the Holy Ghost was given. All right? I'm about through. I'm probably gone, so I have to be, Lord. We all agree that the Greek word pikos, which means rock, was having reference to Jesus Christ. Now I want us to give an attention a little, just a few minutes, to Luke, the 6th chapter, 47, 49th verse. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. Now listen to this. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep. If you haven't dug deep, you haven't got on that rock. That foundation that we have to lay ourselves is repentance. Having done that, we can get on the rock. Nobody's ever got on the rock without it. And he said of this house, the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon rock. But he that heareth and obeyeth not is like a man without a foundation, without a foundation of his own, without a foundation of his own. Builds a house on the earth. The flood came. Stream beat vehemently upon that house. And immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. The rock of eternal ages, my friend, is the only place to get to build your house. I haven't even begun to cover my subject today, and I realize it. I'll tell you what makes me feel little and am little, when I make an effort and there's so much left over when I get through. I know I'm a little fella. Thank you. Oh, yeah,
I will.